Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 312 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this is Megan's first podcast.
Listen, it's because I was listening back to our testing, okay? I forgot to mute my computer.
This episode is sponsored by Jackie. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Today, we will be discussing part two of chapter five of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Fallen Warrior. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to toast your way through the details.
Oh.
I would have said slice today.
Why?
George is here.
That's dark, man.
He makes a joke of it right away.
I'm toasting to Mad-Eye.
Yeah, okay, that's fair too.
Slice.
Like a piece of cheese. All right. Before we begin, let's go to Meg's Mousetails for really exciting weekly profit news.
So, it has been announced that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is going to do a North American tour in 2024.
It rhymes.
There is no talks of cities or anything yet, but they said that it, I believe that they said that it should be announced like before the end of the year.
Ooh, well, that's soon.
Where it's going to be. And like, truly. I'm just saying, Playhouse Square is like,
it's big. I it got to come here, right?
It has to come to Cleveland.
I mean, all the big shows come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playhouse, isn't it Columbus, said that Columbus Playhouse is like second to New York?
Yeah.
Is it really?
I'm fairly certain. And like
size-wise,
the other
big city that gets
Chicago
shows.
Has a lot.
Chicago, but another Midwest place. I thought. Anywhoosies, that's fine.
I like. Pretty sure that Playhouse specifically is like second largest to Broadway.
That's nuts.
Is it the it's condensed really
cool.
version?
You guys. Oh,
Cleveland is
probably.
Cool. I'm assuming
probably.
It's
I
be
think
the,
that's all. Do they? Do they don't do the two-parter anymore.
Not in the U.S.
Oh, they do it. Oh.
In London, they do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as much as people dump on Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks. Drew Carey had it right.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
We have a lot of stuff here. We have a great food scene.
Oh, dude, I love our
art
food.
Museum. Our natural history museum just
the
got
art
redone.
Museum is like... also really
it's
high up there.
It's so amazing. And my favorite room is the one with all the medieval armor and swords and stuff.
Yeah.
We've got the
we
world's smallest the aquarium.
Oh my god, I know. We have a piece of Monet's water lily, though.
We do.
I love that. Yep. In Cleveland.
We have some Van Gogh. Ooh.
We have Momocho. You're right, Mike.
Freaking Momocho's is
Momocho's
so good.
Momocho's so good. Ohio City is fantastic.
You know, Momocho's good, but if you can't get into there, go to the other one at El Carnicero, which I prefer.
I've never been to El Carnicero.
Guys, I'm sorry. I just really like Barrio.
I do really,
yeah,
really
Barrio's
like Barrio.
Great, but
Barrio's won best tacos in Cleveland for...
Do you see what Slapback Shonda said?
Before Swish 21 Pilots was what put Cleveland, Ohio on the map for me. What about the Black Keys?
Yeah, right? Truly.
What about Halle Berry?
Oh, yeah.
Drew Carey.
Our River on Fire. What about that?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. What about that? Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix files and so much more. Send Potter stories or any fun things, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Tiffany, you're funny.
What?
Mike P. in the chat said that he'll be in Cleveland next month for work. And Tiffany replied and said, same.
I'm in a mood.
Oh my gosh.
Katie!
Tiffany!
It's time for the recap! All right! Let's do it! Here.
That was so fast. I wasn't prepared. Okay, both Harry and Hagrid have a crash landing in the Tonks' yard. And after getting all fixed up, they take a portkey to the burrow, where they find out that no one else has returned. And, like, they were supposed to be, like, the third set to return, but they were the first. Until finally Remus and George show up, and he's missing an ear. He's pulling a Van Gogh.
That's a great connection.
Thanks.
I'm really proud of you.
All right, summary. The panic is ensuing with arguing and wondering where everyone is, and we know that Snape cut off George's ear thanks to Remus. George is saint-like, and as more people return, we learn that, unfortunately, Mad-Eye is dead.
I don't know if this is true, but I actually heard that Van Gogh didn't cut his ear off. He just, like, cut the tip of his lobe off. It wasn't, like, his whole ear.
Oh.
I've only
people just made a bigger deal
didn't
about it.
Didn't he paint himself without it?
Yeah. But it's, like, with it wrapped.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, a big... But I don't know how true that is. I don't know. I just heard it. Probably on TikTok or something.
Or we could have learned that in art history or something. I don't know. We took so
not
many
like
art
you
history
have degrees
classes.
Or anything. You know, I took an art history class, and I remember really enjoying it. Do I remember anything? Sure don't. But I liked it.
But it was a time.
Yeah. I took about 4 different art history classes. It was a lot. Because it was, like, focused on different time periods.
Yeah.
Remembering the names.
Names
and
dates.
And the dates.
Yeah, woof. Those killed me.
Especially when it was, like...
That's all the tests were. Like, can we come
I know.
Up with
I'm like, can't we, like... actually analyze it instead of just like memorizing a date is the date important
that literally goes out the window I guess like century wise I could understand
sure or like knowing what
period.
It's a part of
yeah
is it part of the Renaissance
yeah
is
no it'd be like it'd be all that plus like name
dude,
artist date
remind
this,
me
this
did you guys ever do a computer game back in like elementary school days where you would go through like halls of artworks and click on them to learn about them? Does anybody
no.
that just tapped in
that cool, though.
Does anybody in the chat remember what that was? Oh my gosh, I remember doing that. We had
that
one computer
fun.
In our art room, and like one at a time people would get to go and like do that game.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
And
God,
it was
I
like
loved computer games in school.
Do you remember how eyewitness videos would look where you'd like go shoo,
yeah
do,
it was like that.
Yeah, it was like that, but I don't think it was eyewitness.
Dude, I loved Mavis Beacon.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's the typing program. Where you learned how to type and you did all those games and you had to like have your hands covered. I loved that so much.
I just remember
weird.
There was one game of Number Munchers.
Oh, I loved Number Munchers.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm. Oregon Trail is a classic. I just wish I remember. I'm going to look it up when I'm done. Because that's
paying
attention.
I'm sure if you just type it in like that, it'll pop up.
Yeah, probably. Old game where you would go through the hallways and click artwork.
Yeah, seriously. Truly. All right. So, wait. Yeah, you did your thing. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
I know we're like really pumped up right now, but we have some sad stuff to read. Yeah, I almost said something. So Lupin is making Harry feel idiotic because of the whole not using green light spells basically in a life and death battle. And he's still feeling pretty defiant and he needs to get his point across because he feels like it's necessary because this is something that sets him so far apart from Voldemort. He cannot be anything like him. And this gives me Sorcerer's Stone vibes, not Slytherin.
Mm-hmm.
And it really feels that way because he says, quote, "I won't blast people out of my way just because they're there," said Harry. "That's Voldemort's job." And that is literally him talking about Lily.
Yeah.
She was blasted out of the way because she was there.
Sad.
Yeah.
Remus's love just blasted aside.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
It's a way to really sting him, Harry.
Oh my god.
That's a way to sting him.
Sting him, Harry. Yeah, you're gonna sting him, Harry!
That was quick for the episode title.
Oh, man. Basically, that was it for Lupin because his retort was lost at this. I don't know what else.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, you can't. You just got to let it go at this point because that's not Harry.
Mm-hmm.
It never has been and it never will be. And it also doesn't help his responding, because at this moment Hagrid finally succeeds in squeezing through the door and he sits down in a chair and it collapses beneath him.
Oh my god, that's a shout out to Sorcerer's Stone.
Is it?
Yeah. Wait, he sits on the chair in Ollivander's and it breaks.
Oh yeah, very right. Good. But honestly, like, I literally don't care who you are, a chair breaking underneath someone is hilarious. Tiffany. It has happened to me before, and it's funny.
It is funny.
It's funny.
Well, because, like, you just think you're going to sit on this solid thing, and then it's not there.
Sarah falling out of the
Yes.
Send the gif.
Oh, my God.
I know Vinny's got it on, like, speed dial.
Send the gif.
I guess one of my
me.
Wait, hold on. I got to click it. I got to watch her. It's her face the moment she realizes that this is happening right now.
And then it's like the
stagger back.
Oh, shoot.
So no matter how, like, angry or upset you are, just like, that makes you laugh.
Yep.
It's a mood boost, that's for sure. I guess my co-teacher, she has an aide in her room for one of her students. Fell out of her chair twice this week because it's on wheels. And she runs over the one and the kids are laughing. She's like, don't laugh! Don't laugh! And the woman's on the floor just dying laughing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Okay. But it just brings a little bit of comedy. Like, the author does that, like, periodically. Like, with Ron smirking at Harry in the sidecar mm-hmm. because he looks like a child. Like, mm-hmm. this, it's just a little bit of a little bit of laughs for you. Before she crushes you again. So this to them as a group is just so natural. Hagrid's a half giant. He's always going to have in regular size wizard homes
dolphin
some
feet.
Some sort of off, right?
Right. Trash can lid hands.
Yeah. Chugging mead in one thing because it's tiny mead, right?
Right.
Okay. But they just ignore his apologies because they don't mind and they love him, which is interesting to me about how quickly Harry jumps in to protect him in a couple of moments. So Harry changes the subject and he says, yes, if George is going to be okay. And there's a change in Lupin at the question. And it's kind of bringing him back to the reality of right now, not the reality of what they just went through. And not to where he's at in his head, trusting James, who is dead because of a friend's betrayal. So that's on their minds, right? Somebody did this. Somebody betrayed. Somebody let it slip. And this is just like last time. So we have to pull, we're pulling Lupin out of that as well. And that to me is, it's just so heart-wrenching. Quote, I think so, although there's no chance of replacing his ear, not when it's been cursed off. There was a scuffling from outside. Lupin dived for the back door. Harry leapt over Hagrid's legs and sprinted to the yard. Something I noted on this read was that I think I gloss over the panic. In this section,
it's very chaotic.
It is. It feels so intense. And so, like, everything is frantic. It's the scrambling, the jumping, the sprinting, and that their feeling is in all of their movements, yeah. Especially the way that they question each other.
Mm-hmm.
I did read through your notes a little bit just because I was doing my summary, and that's like how I like pull things for the summary.
Sure.
And I saw this point and I was like, it kind of makes you read it differently when you put that in the forefront of your mind. Like, when you're just reading this part of the book, like, sometimes when I'm reading books, I'm very much just focused on dialogue. And I know that that is not always good, but, like, especially when I'm, like, speed reading something, mm-hmm. I focus on the dialogue.
Yeah.
But a lot of this is in how they're acting, that like frantic feeling. They're running from here, from there. They're asking questions, right? Like, he's like grabbing to be like, what is this? You know, like, because they're terrified, right? Like, it's like they're trying to figure out what the heck just happened.
Oh yeah, they're all thrown. Like, yeah. This is just like, and yeah.
And every time someone new comes back, it starts over again because those people that just came back don't know what happened either. And like the mm-hmm. people that are there, like, okay, they've chatted and they've figured it, that it's none of them. But then like two new people come and they're like, what is the answer to this question? Like, were you the fake? Like, were you the fake? Were you the fake? Like, right. who betrayed us? Who betrayed us? And it is, I think it's like just because of how it's so spread out, it makes the chaos last so long mm-hmm. in this moment. Like, it'd be one thing if like everybody landed at once and then they could just like get it out of the way. But it yeah. just like drags on because.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they all landed at once? They'd all be like in a circle, like just pointing at each other.
God, it'd be like that Spider-Man guy.
Yeah, for real.
So two people appear in the yard and Harry sees that it's Hermione coming back to herself and also Kingsley. Something that I want to point out that I wrote in my book and I forgot to say, but a question that I wrote was, does this argument with Lupin fuel the fire for the next one?
I put that in my notes. I think so. This yeah. is like the start of it.
Yeah.
It's like a build up a little bit.
It is. It is a little bit, definitely, because there's so much tension there.
I think, you know, the fact that Lupin brings up James and how yeah, James was too like trusting, yeah. and like, I mean, I can talk about what I have in here a little bit too. How I just put like, or maybe it's in the next chapter. What am I thinking? I don't know. Anyway, basically, I was just like, I think that it's the fact that like Lupin also seems so on edge because he's the last one of the group left and he probably has so much deja vu, but then like wants to handle it differently and doesn't know how to. Mm-hmm. So he's like thinking of all of the mistakes that they made the last time.
Harry's
and
making
he's hyper focused on
Harry
it.
Who looks like James
is making
is acting
a
like
similar
James
mistake
and making a similar
and
mistake.
It's
gotta
triggering.
Be triggering up
yeah
it has to be so triggering
yeah
which makes me give Remus a little bit more grace, you know, because like we talked in the last episode I think how like I probably would have been on Remus's side at the beginning of this argument, like
oh,
you,
green
you've got to be
yeah
you've got to be
that.
Fighting
green lights.
You know yeah. But I also think part of it is just like certain things that Remus says that just like rub Harry the wrong way mm-hmm. or yeah, it's definitely like a slow build.
Morgan says he's also treating Harry like a child for the first time in their relationship. That does feel very on. And yeah. Harry at this point is fighting an adult's war
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and he knows he's key.
Yeah.
And I don't think he, I think as chill as Harry Potter can sometimes be, he's very much not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he knows he's capable.
Janine sent a little plushy werewolf in the chat, and it's
so cute.
Its
little teeth.
Fangs.
I know. Jelly cats.
Oh my gosh.
Shut
it's
up.
A
it's soft.
Stop
it's soft
it.
As heck.
I oh, need I it.
Do you have a link? So their port key is a bent coat hanger. What's the meaning behind it? We don't know.
Wait, whose was the coat hanger?
Kingsley and Hermione.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because they. We'll have
no more wire hangers.
What's that movie? I haven't even seen it. I just know that
future
line.
Future ministers.
Apparently, it's a terrible movie. Like, terrible as in, like, not a bad film, but, like, content-wise, it's like,
oh.
Any whoosies? Where am I? Coat hanger.
Coat hanger.
There's coat a coat hanger. Yes. And Hermione flung herself into Harry's arms, and this feels very much like a throwback to the books where Harry returns and Hermione flings herself onto him and Ron gives an awkward, like, handshake.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah,
thought
that's
she
when, that's
hugged
when
Ron.
She,
oh,
no,
wait,
she
Ron's
doesn't.
Not here yet. Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. That's when she comes back from being petrified.
Petrified. You figured it out. I don't know if that's what she said. Lupin and Kingsley, however, are not greeting each other in the same way.
More chaos.
This very much shows their experience with war and a war with Voldemort. Mm-hmm. The deception and fear are very well alive.
Very
within
much alive.
Definitely with the older members of the Order of the Phoenix. So, quote, over Hermione's shoulder, Harry saw him raise a wand and point it at Lupin's chess piece.
Whoa, bro.
Piece is not in the quote, but I like to say chess piece. The last words Albus Dumbledore spoke to the pair of us. Harry is the best hope we have. Trust him, said Lupin calmly. Oh, sir.
Well, you're not listening to that.
Oh, shoot. Oh, wise old Dumbledore knows all, right, guys?
Trust him. Don't green. Or you better green light, Harry. You better do it.
But I think that
green light!
That truly shows Lupin's, like, chaos in his mind of trust.
Yeah.
He struggles with trust.
Yeah. Well, Peter Pettigrew.
I know.
Dude's been burned.
Yeah. Oh, man. So Kingsley turned his wand on Harry, but Lupin said, That was weird. Lupin said, it's him. I've checked. All right, said Kingsley. What did I stop with that quote?
Seven Harrys.
Seven. seven Harrys is what I typed. What was I saying? GBD.
How come, like, Kingsley's just coming into the situation, wouldn't it be Remus checking Kingsley? Like, why is Kingsley like, whoa?
Because they're just all ready
they're
to
all
go.
Just chaotic.
It's
yeah.
just got yeah, it.
Yeah,
are.
Because maybe Lupin was the person that ratted them out.
And maybe Lupin convinced everyone else that's there that he's safe, but Kingsley is not going to be so trusting.
Right. He says, the reason why I wrote Seven Harrys, by the way, I found out. Quote, so it seems, or I'm sorry, but somebody betrayed us. They knew it was tonight. And I said, Snape again. But they don't know that. So it seems, replied Lupin. But apparently they did not realize that there would be seven Harrys. And I love the way Jim Dale says this. Small comfort. Oh, man. Alrighty. So Kingsley updates them on what was happening with them in the skies that night. And I want you to think about the fact that Hermione Granger was with him the entire time and the fear that she went through during this battle. Quote, followed by five, injured two, might have killed one, Kingsley reeled off. And we saw you know who as well. He joined the chase halfway through, but vanished pretty quickly. This number adds up to eight, which is the meaning behind that number is authority and self-confidence.
That fits him. Kingsley, I mean.
Yes. I am not knocking Hermione in the slightest, and I don't want anybody to think that.
Hit me.
And I don't know who else would have been paired. I don't. But the fact that she was with the second strongest, meaning she was second in line for a green light.
Right.
Yeah. That's scary. And I'm not knocking her at all. I'm not saying that she's not good at battling. She's decent, I think. Is she as quick as Harry?
I'm curious.
No. Is she better than Ron? Slightly? Maybe?
I think she's definitely better than Ron.
I don't know who else she would have been paired with or who would have been paired with Kingsley, rather. But
that's
I am
I'm
so
like,
scared for her. Think about that. Voldemort's, if he's there, this is the plan. He's going after Moody. And then he's going right to Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think I kind of always took that as she. So like Mundungus was just. I don't think that he was put with the strongest one because he was the most dispensable, per se, which sounds kind of bad.
Who?
I think
Mundungus.
Mundungus.
He was with him because he had to keep an eye on him.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that like the reason like if
and
they
I
had
get what you're saying.
If they had the perfect seven Harrys and Dung wasn't even there, I think Hermione would have gone with Mad-Eye. Like think about the people who were the flyers and the people who were the fighters.
That's terrifying.
I think she probably was the strongest.
She knew, too. Yeah. They all totally knew what they were signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know they strategically planned that all out beforehand, too. So, yeah, she definitely knew.
She was ready to give her life over.
Yeah.
For Harry and the cause.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them were, but she knew that she was next on the list.
It's let's just remember that they're 17.
What?
They're okay, only so 17.
Oh, they're 17. I thought you meant there are 17, and I was
what are there 17 of?
They're so this children. Is interesting. Mm. Morgan says the author has said multiple times that she does not see Hermione as a fighter. Did you say that already?
No, I read that, but yeah, so that's true.
It would make
true.
Sense for her to be with Kingsley, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't say that I don't believe the author when she's talking about a character she created, but
I just don't think she's.
She could definitely execute well. Like,
took that the wrong way.
I know. As soon as I said it, I was like, I mean, execute spells.
Yeah.
Correctly.
She can kill well.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
So now Voldy's secret's out. He can fly.
He can fly.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Tiffany.
That's two. Put it on the board. So he can fly, right? Without thestral no broom. And they note the way that the targets were changing, which is why Voldemort was there and then not so many times. Stan Shunpike has been spotted, and Hermione is flabbergasted by this news because he is supposed to be in Azkaban. And Kingsley's like,
is he Voldemort and the Grinch?
Yeah. A mirthless laugh. There's obviously been a mass breakout of Azkaban. What does mirthless mean? Because I know somebody has asked that question.
I don't know.
There's no gaiety or joy. In your laugh. No gaiety. So did you know like gaiety is spelled with an I? G-A-I-E-T-Y.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, I didn't know that. But
I have gaiety within me.
We are aware.
So that's like one of those laughs where you're just like so frustrated or so mad that you're just like, huh.
Yeah. It's mirthless.
So it's like a joyless laugh.
I thought it was more Grinch, but
I also kind of would think it's like one of those like disbelief laughs where you're just like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's not funny, but the way that I'm reacting is I'm giving a sort of laugh.
I'm getting Moira Rose vibes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Travers is spotted as well. His hood slipped. Oh, how unfortunate for you, sir. He's supposed to be in Azkaban as well, but he is clearly not. And Travers in French means to cross.
Like to travel.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, maybe.
I think Hermione's of PL like, Travers.
Oh, I'm sorry. When Kingsley says that there's obviously been a mass breakout which the ministry has hushed up, I said,
you mean
Death Eaters
have hushed up.
Right.
Death Eaters working within the ministry underneath the Minister of Magic, Voldemort.
Like Chuck E. Cheese?
Yes.
Voldemort.
Oh my god. It's true. Does England have a form of Chuck E. Cheese? I'm just interested from our listeners. Can you tell us?
It's called Charles E. Gouda.
No, what's a really like British cheese?
I don't know Stilton. British cheese.
Charles E. Stilton.
It's very fancy. Their animatronics are top notch.
Not the creepy rat we have here.
Oh man. And their pizza's not just a saltine cracker with Campbell's tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah. Sir Charles. Thank you, Mike.
Crap.
Sir Charles E. Stilton.
Oh, God.
Does he have a little tea with his pinky out?
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. What if they served scones?
No. He has charcuterie boards instead of pizza.
I enjoy those.
Because of cheese.
I enjoy this. Okay.
This is actually an adult establishment. It's not for children.
I would love that. Serve me afternoon tea with arcade games.
The tokens are actual gold pieces.
Really good tea to choose from.
Where do you want to go? Sir Charles E. Stilton? What are you talking about?
Cannot wait to get my tickets.
Oh my god. We should start that though.
I love that.
Like everybody erase.
yeah. What are they singing about on stage?
I don't know. Pomp and circumstance.
What?
What's the song that they sing?
I have no idea.
I guess for many a years it's been God Save the Queen, but now it's different.
Oh, I thought you were asking me what they sing at Chuck E. Cheese. I'm like, I don't know.
At Sir Charles Stilton.
Sir Charles, Duke of Pizzeria.
Oh, God. I feel bad because the only Chuck E. Cheese near us, there's always these fights between the parents. And I'm like, I don't want to go there.
Oh, no. Did I say a word wrong? What is it?
I don't know what you said.
Pomp and circumstance. Isn't that not right?
I thought it was. Don't embarrass us, Janine. Why do you gotta embarrass me in front of my
friends? The graduation song.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Is E not for Earl?
That's awesome. So is he not Sir? He's Earl Charles.
Earl. Oh, gosh. We have to finish this. Oh, my God. It's almost 7. Marty's gonna smack me. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. That was really good.
We're pretty funny.
Where am I?
I don't know. Sectum Sempra.
I don't know. Gouda.
Travers.
Oh, okay. So Lupin informs Travers. Lupin informs Kingsley that George has lost an ear and that it was Snape's work. This bit of information, Harry's like, Snipe! You didn't sigh!
Is that what Harry sounds like?
Snipe! Snipe!
Here, Snipe.
So he apparently lost his hood during the chase as well. Sectum Sempra was always a speciality of Snape's. Wish I could say I paid him back in kind, but it was all I could do to keep George on the broom after he was injured. He was losing so much blood. Sectum Sempra, back to haunt Harry Potter, which makes this injury that much more personal because Harry knows firsthand what that bit of dark magic does to a person.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
We might have an answer.
No promises.
Okay. Do you think Snape would have been able to fix George's ear correctly? No. But why could he patch up Draco?
That's true.
If those cuts were cut with dark magic.
But Draco has scars.
Still.
The ear is completely off. Draco has skin to sew together.
I mean, you could take the piece of ear and sew it together.
If you can find it.
Yeah. But say they had it. You know what I mean? Where did George's ear go?
Chuck E. Cheese took it.
No, Sir Charles.
He would never.
Oh, you're right.
Chuck would definitely do that, okay?
Chuck's all about that. To anyone named Chuck and Charles, so sorry, we're not making fun of you at all.
No, it's a great name. It's just also a fancy one. Man. And also not a fancy one at the same time, you know?
I bet that's true. Mike P was like, it's like stitches versus reattaching a limb, much more difficult.
Yeah.
I kind of think in my head canon, Snape would have been able to fix it.
Would he have needed the ear?
Yes.
Okay. But it...
Okay. I will accept that as a possibility.
He could have Accio'd. Accio ear!
How long would it take to get back up?
I don't know.
Would like everyone would in the vicinity with would, ears come flying?
Would Chuck E. Cheese still be having You know them rats running around London.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. Anyway, my headcanon, Snape could have fixed it. I think I think that there's just like something to be said about like the creator of said dark spell must know how to do.
Yeah. And the counter.
And plus the counters. Fact, okay, like, yes, Draco has scars, but if it was a cursed, though, I guess they can stop the bleeding on George's ear, right? Obviously. So I don't know. It's just thoughts to think.
Did Snape draw stars around Draco's scars?
Probably. No. No. Some Draco Harry shippers may say Harry actually drew the stars around Draco's scars.
Got it.
Yeah.
There you go. I just set up a fanfic for anybody.
If anybody needed Taylor Swift on their bingo, there it was. Okay, so at this point, they're still missing Ron, Tonks, Fred, Mr. Weasley, Bill, Fleur, Mad-Eye, and Mundungus.
Basically everyone.
Hagrid calls for Harry to come and help inside, though, which is good because Harry, like, really needs a distraction right now.
Sure, sure.
So he asks George, he asks how George is, and Mrs. Weasley is, like, kind of explaining that because it was cursed off with dark magic, she can't magic it back. And that's where I put, this makes me wonder, like, could Snape have done that? I don't know, maybe. So he tells Mrs. Weasley and Ginny that Kingsley and Hermione are back because they were inside, so they were unaware of that piece of information. What?
Ginny.
What?
Someone had an ear in their backyard. The Muggle police probably were wild.
Okay, this is kind of morbid, but you know a wild animal just ate it.
Wow, I don't know that. What if it landed on someone?
The squirrel's like, sweet manna from heaven.
Sweet nectar from life.
Guys, a squirrel wouldn't eat an ear. It would have to be,
you
like,
don't know what squirrels do?
Yeah.
It would have to be like a falcon or something.
No, nuts,
that
man.
Squirrel's related Raccoon to Chuck E. Cheese.
Osprey would probably.
You walk
eat
into
it.
A side, see an osprey's flying around?
Maybe in England. I don't know. I don't live there. Do they have ospreys in England?
No, but I hear they have Chelsea Stilton.
Oh,
Becca, you got a bingo?
Okay, Gryffindor, settle down. Okay, okay. So there's commotion, and Kingsley is making sure that Arthur is actually Arthur because now Mr. Weasley and Fred are back. Mr. Weasley's absolutely having none of this because he just wants to check on George. And George stirs from all this commotion, and he's just so typical because here we get the ear joke. Mrs. Weasley whispers, "How are you feeling, Georgie?" And he kind of murmurs, he's like, "Saint-like."
God.
And the wit on these twins.
I love it.
Fred is just like terrified, and he asks if George's mind has been affected. And George tries again, though. He's like, "Saint-like, you see, I'm holy, Fred, get it?" And George jokes more and tells Mrs. Weasley that now she'll be able to tell them apart. And then he suddenly stops joking because he hears that Ron and Bill aren't back yet, because he very wittily asks, "Where are Ron and Bill? Why aren't they crying at my bedside?" And now
and that now, literally would be me.
And now he's worried about them because they're not back. So Ginny and Harry go walk through the kitchen, and she kind of murmurs and tells him that Ron and Tonks really should have been back by now because Auntie Muriel's is not far from there. So, like, even if they had missed the port key, they could have come back by now.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry is just so scared. And I really liked the words that the author used here to describe his fear. So I just copied it. He had been trying to keep fear at bay ever since reaching the burrow, but now it enveloped him.
It stamped him and sent him in the mail.
Done. You have to start over because I cannot. The envelope was open.
Oh my god, what is wrong with me? Okay.
I'm field delivered.
What a pee.
Okay, let's start.
What?
Harry is so scared, guys. Let's get it together. He's
terrified. She just said
no.
R.I.P. Hedwig.
What? Oh, signed, sealed, delivered. I get it. Because she's a mail carrier.
Envelopes. I spit on myself.
Okay. He had been trying to keep fear at bay ever since reaching the burrow, but now it enveloped him. seeming to crawl over his skin, throbbing in his chest, clogging his throat. So anyway, that's very sad.
It's like that Loki gif.
You are so serious for time. I love you.
I like, as soon as I said it, I was like, that's
no,
right.
Dang it.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay. So everyone outside, like Harry and Ginny walk through the kitchen and they're heading outside. And he comes upon this scene of everybody out there just staring up at the sky and like silently waiting and hoping and wishing that more people would appear in the sky. Which is just like it's a really hard moment. Like you truly have you in the moment have no idea what to think. Like, did they just get held up? Did they miss their port key? Are they never coming back? Like, it's terrifying.
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, I have a couple of points and then I have a question.
Okay.
So hold on. What's the quote before that? Oh, Mrs. Weasley saying that, you know, I can't really put his ear back because of dark magic, but he's alive, right? Harry responds with, yeah, thank God. And I thought that that was an interesting use of words because God is capitalized, meaning.
Right. That's like never really mentioned in the books.
So let's talk about some more.
Okay.
And the question I asked to go along with that was God because he was brought up by Muggles. Ginny later says, thank goodness, like 2-3 lines down.
Usually they'll say like Merlin or something instead.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I said brought up by wizards and witches. Thank goodness rather than thank God being a deity. And then later on, saint-like. That's religion-based. Holy religion-based. And I just thought that that was interesting. And then like a general question I had, is there any type of religion, like a religion as we know it, in the wizarding world? Because there is, I mean, we know there's some sort of an afterlife. Dumbledore's there.
Right.
So it's just interesting to me.
So the wiki has a page on Christianity. Mm? The Harry Potter wiki.
I was like,
is it just the connections between?
So it says,
like, Harry and
They do celebrate 2 major Christian festivals, Easter and Christmas.
Yes, they do.
The Fat Friar was in his lifetime a Roman Catholic friar who was executed for witchcraft. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It says,
and only witches and wizards can be made into ghosts in this world.
Right.
Yeah.
So in a Harry Potter lexicon set report, someone saw on the set of one of the films that Dumbledore owned a copy of the Christian Bible.
I think that he would,
that's
though.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think he would.
I think he'd own
all versions of any sort of Bible. Yeah.
Like, it says here, given Dumbledore's worldliness, he may have kept the copy out of a desire for knowledge and not out of his personal religious devotion.
Jesus did magic. What if he's a wizard?
Maybe. It also says,
water into wine, anyone?
Multiplying them fish.
It says, both the tombstones of Ariana and Kendra and of Lily and James allude directly to the Bible because their quotes say, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the last enemy that shall
Christian.
Be destroyed is death.
Yeah, those are Christian quotes.
Additionally, Harry was christened shortly after his birth. We did. That's like a flashback or something. Right?
For Vernon? I don't remember that, but.
Wait.
The author.
At the Edinburgh Book Festival in 2004 said that Harry was christened.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I'm
surprised they did that.
Well.
But did Petunia do that? Or did they do it?
No, Lily and James did because Sirius was appointed godfather.
So they're. Okay, you're right. Because, well, some people use godparents just with the saying
true.
Godparents. There's no religious meaning behind it for, you know, people who don't worship in any sort of way.
I guess that's true. Because then it also goes on to say, likewise, Harry became the godfather of Teddy, making it possible.
But we don't
that
know
not
if there
only
was something or not.
He was Christian, but the couple who appointed him, Remus and Tonks, were as well. I don't know. know.
And it's not to say, I mean, just because we don't see it, we see what Harry does. And Harry's not going to church on Sunday, right?
Harry gouges a small cross into the tree under which he buries Mad-Eye's eye.
This is blowing my mind a little bit because I've never until...
I've always just kind of like...
assumed that there wasn't.
Like pay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Again, right? That's the right term.
Yeah,
term.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
This is very interesting, and we need to do a lot of research. Because okay. I think this is really interesting.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, I like this. What if God was like to Dumbledore? He was like, go in that little in-between area right there and
talk to the
just
kid.
Wait. Just wait right there.
Mia sent a MuggleNet article, too, that talks about religion at Hogwarts.
Yeah, because why would you put a cross there?
Yeah.
That is Christian, period. Yeah.
Well, and she does talk about how... there is a Jewish student as well, and like Padma and Parvati come from a Hindu family.
Yes.
So like, I mean, it doesn't explicitly state that they practice Hinduism.
No, but not everybody's practicing.
Correct.
You know, you can identify as a religion and not be
practicing. It says the Wizarding World seems to, at least in Britain, have a vaguely Anglican background, celebrating Christmas, the role of godparents, etc., suggesting that wizards may practice religion. And yeah, in Godric's Hollow, which is like known to be a wizard town, there's a church.
Yeah, how many people are, how many witches and wizards are attending Muggle Mass? Because that's a Catholic church.
Muggle Mass. Right.
Muggle Mass.
Muggle Mass.
I bet there is like a Wizarding World not exclusive, but like I bet there is some religion within the Wizarding World.
I bet
world,
it's
though.
Just like, I mean, if you think about, I think being that a lot of nature. People in our generation like were raised within a certain religion, and like practicing it has kind of like fallen off the bandwagon, but like you still consider yourself whatever that religion is, even though you don't.
Are you talking
like,
about us?
Just like our generation.
Yeah. So like, you know, am like, I going to mass every Sunday? No.
Right.
Do I worship every morning Christian. On my way to work? Absolutely I do.
Yeah. It's like our generation has like figured out a way to do it our own way.
Well,
you know? So
I just,
like.
Yeah. I just feel like I don't have to be in a church, physically in a church to praise the Lord.
Yeah. I also,
you know,
Mia said, I don't think you can exist in the world and not recognize that religion also exists regardless of your beliefs in it. That's totally true, too.
Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
Even like thinking about politics and everything, that religion is ingrained in everything, even if it shouldn't be. So.
Please don't mix morals and religion together. Yeah. Those are two separate things. You don't have to be a religious person to have morals. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Coming.
Yeah.
My TED Talk. Anywho.
Katie, it's your turn.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I put that note in the wrong place. Wow. Okay. So here's where they kind of switch. They go back and forth between like panic and waiting, right? Panic and waiting. And then eventually it turns into just very quiet sadness. But anyway. So the minutes are just ticking by. I feel like we've all been in this kind of situation where, like, could be minutes, could be hours, could be years. Like, it's just, like, time is not a concept right now.
That's me waiting for the water to boil in a pot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A pot, a watched pot doesn't something.
Doesn't boil.
Oh, there you go. A watched pot.
I think it helps if you put the lid on.
It does. I know that.
Is that true? Because I've always heard
you contain the heat, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It makes sense to me.
Where are the science?
I want to let people. You know that I didn't start doing that until this year, and it's been a game changer for me.
That water go.
Yeah. Yeah. Boils like so much faster.
You salt that water right before you throw them noodles in, girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
as Anthony
like
would say.
Sea,
yeah.
As what Anthony says.
Okay. So the minutes are ticking by what feels like who knows how long. And every little sound they hear, like the wind blows and they jump and they're hopeful that someone's back. Who knows how long this goes on? Finally, a broom appears above them and it's Ron and Tonks. They are back. They are alive. From the book, Tonks landed in a long skid that sent earth and pebbles everywhere. She was booking it.
Yeah.
Were they trying to get away from someone? Were they just trying to get to safety as quick as possible? I don't know. Who knows? It's chaos. Tonks is obviously relieved to see Remus. She heads right for his arms. Ah, cute. His face is just like set and white. Doesn't really seem like he's able to speak. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more later. The first thing that Ron says to Harry and Hermione is, "You're okay." And I think that's so cute because, like, even the people that aren't in the safe house right now, it's all in your mind. You're still thinking about everybody else that's involved,
yep.
Wondering what happened, especially because they were hit right away and probably had to, like, super scatter.
Mm.
No one knew where anybody was. So then Hermione flings herself at Ron in a hug, and she's not able to fully say, like, I thought you were gone. Like, I didn't know what was happening. And he pats her back, tells her that he's all right. It's these little moments that are just building up to that kiss at the end that Meg missed.
Right? I was going to say that Megan missed.
I was waiting for it because I noticed this stuff.
I can't believe they didn't. What do you mean?
Oh, my gosh.
So dumb.
So Tonks tells them all that Ron was great. He stunned a Death Eater straight in the head. And she's like praising him because that's no easy feat when you're on a flying broom and aiming on a moving target.
Did Ron kill someone?
He stunned him.
Probs.
I mean, the fall.
Right? Yeah, probably. Unless, can you see a fellow Death Eater like trying to catch or slow their focus?
That got hit by the wall.
I think it depends on who it is.
Right. If it's a crony, no. But if it's like, you know, a crony. Lucius.
I'm thinking like a Team Rocket grunt.
Yeah, literally. That's kind of what I'm thinking, though. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Arbok. Literally. Ekans coughing. Rattata.
Coughing.
Raticate.
Can you imagine having a Pokemon that just like is a ball of gas around you at all times?
Really,
it's poisonous gas.
What if you like fainted every time it came out of the Pokeball?
You can't even like hug your own buddy because he's pouring out poisonous gas.
I don't think anybody
anyway.
Wants to hug that person. Person meaning Pokemon. Sorry.
Poor coughing.
What about wheezing?
Yeah.
What about wheezing? That wheezing too.
Isn't there a third one too?
Unless it's new and I don't know.
Weaselbee.
No, I really do think there's a third one.
Good to see you, Wallenby.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Unless it's new, I do not recall.
I do think it is new-ish.
Lord knows what it looks like.
I don't freaking know. Yeah. Oh, it's just a different region. It's the Galarian wheezing.
Oh, yeah. What's
it with the smokestacks coming out
of
it and it's
black.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's like a really tall Abraham Lincoln hat.
That's literally what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. I love a good Abe Lincoln
Where is
hat.
The Galarian? Where's the Galarian from? And Galar?
Galar, yeah.
Is that Sword and Shield? Okay, yeah, that's why, because that's my favorite game. Anyway.
Game's awesome.
It's bomb.
It's bomb. Okay, so Tonks is singing the praises of Ron, and Hermione's like, "You did?" And he was like, always the tone of surprise. But in the book, he says it a little grumpily. In the movie, they make it lighter. He's like laughing about it and smiling, like giving her a hug and smiling with it. Both ways.
It's a little smirky and like jokey in the movie.
And then I don't know if they do it in the book, but in the movie, they tie it in again later when Ron says something to Hermione and she goes, always a tone of surprise.
I like
and
that.
And it's
moment.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that moment. Mm-hmm.
So I like how they flipped it. It doesn't bother me. So Ginny tells them that they're still waiting on Bill, Fleur, Mad-Eye, and Mundungus, and says, I'm going to go tell Mom and Dad that you're back and you're okay. So Harry's describing Remus as sounding almost angry at Tonks because he's asking, like, what kept you? What happened? And I think he's just misreading him as, like, as angry, but he's, like, stressed. Super stressed. There's like a muscle moving in his jaw. She's telling the story and he's not like really able to say anything. this is like the struggle we see him go through that started last book. It continues through this one.
What's going on with the twitching of the jaw? Like, what's going? I literally wrote that. What's going on there?
It's like we're you're like gritting your teeth.
No, I know, but like the reason behind it.
I think he's terrible. Like, everything is stressful. He didn't know where she was.
Okay.
He loves her, and from text from the author, he's in disbelief that someone like her or anyone could love him back. So he's constantly between like.
I think he's really protective and really like, just grateful. So like,
doesn't know how to show it properly, though.
Scared of losing that because he's still and will always be in disbelief that he has it. So the fact that that could have gotten ripped away from him.
Right. You know what I think this means that I just thought of?
What?
He tries to ditch her pretty soon.
Yeah, because he probably thinks that that would be easier on his heart.
I don't have to go through this again if I bounce.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
And he is shameful of himself and doesn't want to shame his wife and child.
It's his trust issues.
Yeah.
And mixed with his trust issues with others and himself and just disbelief and his unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Well, what has the Wizarding World told him his whole life? You don't belong. He's constantly between like wanting to love the heck out of her and also like feeling like he's not good enough for her, feeling like he's shaming her, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I think I was reading this and I was like, why is he angry? And no, he's just really stressed out and worried and it's war. Yeah. And he's been through this before and she hasn't.
And lost a lot of people.
Yeah. And now he has a wife.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to handle it. I think, you know, we talk all the time.
Which is why he tries to go.
Mm-hmm.
He would he would prefer going rather than to face it head on, which is more difficult, right? It's always the most difficult to like open up that Pandora's box and sift through that stuff,
right?
But it makes it better in the end, and it did. He got there. Did he have a lot of time?
No.
But I think he would have. I think he would have been okay.
We talk all the time about how Snape, Sirius, how they were all like stunted as far as their like emotional growth. I think Remus is too. He had so much happen to him at a young age. You know, it's trauma. Harry too, in a way, especially if you go on to Cursed Child, like emotionally stunted in some stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
Faux show.
So Tonks goes on to tell him like, what kept her is Bellatrix. She said, she wants me quite as much as she wants Harry, Remus. She tried very hard to kill me. I just wish I'd got her. I owe Bellatrix. But we definitely injured Rodolphus. Isn't that her husband?
Bellatrix's
husband? Then we got to Ron's Auntie Muriel's and we'd missed our portkey and she was fussing over us. So this is the tie back to the first chapter where Bellatrix is just like bloodlust over Tonks.
Right.
And how Voldemort's like promising her that she'll get the kill she wants.
Like, bloodlust over Tonks, Ted, and her sister. It's just, like...
disgusting.
Yeah.
Andromeda's the only one that makes it out.
Yeah,
and Teddy,
sad.
But... what?
Just the fact that you have to kill two people. It's fine.
It's all fine. Yeah.
She gets what's coming to her, thankfully.
Yeah. So, Tonks asks what happened to them, and everyone tells their stories again. Like Meg was saying, it's like... a new set of people come, it all happens all over again. But the whole time they're all just thinking they're all just thinking about the missing order members that they're still waiting for. So Kingsley has to leave because he has to go back to the Prime Minister. He's like an hour late. I'm sure he would rather hang out with the Potter crew because they're way cooler, but whatever.
He also probably just really wants to see with his own eyes these people come back.
Yes, exactly. He tells, I think it's
because
sweet,
who's left.
Sorry, a ton of
finish
people.
Your thought.
He tells Remus.
It's Bill and Fleur.
He tells Remus, like, tell me when the others get back. Like, let me know. Send me word.
It's Bill, Fleur, Mad-Eye, and Dung, right? Is who we're
submitting. Yeah. So, Mr. Mrs. Weasley come bursting out because they heard Ron's back. They attack him in a hug and they thank Remus and Tonks. And Mrs. Weasley says, thank you for our sons. And, like, that's so sweet.
It is.
So Remus asks how George is, and Ron's like, wait, what? Like, what happened to him? That doesn't get to be revealed to Ron right now because Bill and Fleur come back, and Mrs. Weasley freaks out, obviously, because Bill's there, and that's and her Bill's first, like, baby.
Kind of her favorite.
Yeah, oh, 100%. It's Harry and then Bill.
And then Jenny.
And then Jenny, yeah. His hug back to her is perfunctory. I didn't know what that word meant, so I looked it up.
It's a run-of-the-mill hug.
Yeah, pretty much. It's of an action or gesture. It's carried out with a minimum of effort or reflection. So his only focus is to report that Mad-Eye's dead, because that's all he can think about. He saw it. He just went through this crazy thing riding with his wife, trying not to die and protect everyone else. Again, it's chaos.
They're not married yet.
I'm sorry. His fiance. Yeah.
Not my wife.
He looks right at Mr. Weasley and says, Mad-Eye's dead. No one speaks. Harry describes feeling like something's falling inside of him. And Bill says, we saw it. And Fleur agrees, and you can see on her cheeks that she's been crying. It happened just after we broke out of the circle. Mad-Eye and Dung were close by. They were heading north, too. Voldemort, he can fly, went straight for them. Dung panicked. I heard him cry out. Mad-Eye tried to stop him, but he disapparated. Voldemort's curse hit Mad-Eye full in the face. He fell backward off his broom, and there was nothing we could do, nothing. We had half a dozen of them on our own tail, and his voice breaks. And Remus is like, of course there wasn't anything you could have done.
I mean,
done.
What could he have done?
No, literally. Nothing. It probably happened so fast you couldn't have reacted anyway, but even if you could have, literally you could not have at all.
Think about how fast Voldemort's working now. Like, I'm getting this secondary person out of the way so I can kill Harry right away.
Yep.
No monologues.
They all stood there just looking at each other. And from the book, Harry could not quite comprehend it. Mad-Eye dead. It could not be. Mad-Eye so tough, so brave, the consummate survivor. By the way, I looked up consummate, and it has two very different meanings depending on how you pronounce that word, just so you know.
It's not envelope.
So it means showing a high degree of skill and flair, complete or perfect. Basically, like, he's just survived everything so far.
He was the one that, like, you never would have thought.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh,
that's
why,
like, the title chapter, Fallen Warrior, like, it really does fit him very well.
My grandfather, who passed away a couple of years ago, really reminds me of, like, Mad-Eye. Just, like, a larger, he was big, muscly, like, he was a power lifter, just larger than life kind of guy. And even when he passed away, he didn't seem sick to me at all.
Yeah.
And he really, really was. I mean, obviously, he died, but, like, he just did not. There's nothing about him that seemed weak or anything like that. And he just really reminds me of Mad-Eye, just tough.
Yeah. So then there's that awkward moment where, like, so they just had this bomb dropped on them. They found out one of their own is dead, and one of their own just disappeared and led to that guy's death, right? So they just, like, kind of realize there's no use standing out in the yard anymore because no one else is coming back. So they all go back inside, where Fred and George are laughing right now. But they won't be shortly because they'll find out. But I was looking up. I was like, is there a symbolism to Mad-Eye's death, right? Like, we've got Hedwig, which is, like, the loss of innocence, on and on. So basically, it's more so, like, it makes Harry realize that not only is he at risk, but so is anyone around him. Harry cannot be the hero of the story if there's another greater hero standing behind to support him. I didn't think about this, but, like, at this moment, since Dumbledore has died, Moody is kind of, like, the leader of the Order now. Mm-hmm. It didn't make a connection to me, but it's, like, very obvious now that I have read that. So it seems like Moody does need, unfortunately, to be out of the picture in order for, like, Harry not to lean on him and to, like, do this thing on his own. That's what this analysis is saying.
I can see that.
But I do think that it is a big sign for Harry that, like, or to anybody, like, no one's safe, you know? Like, you think, like, we all just said, like, you wouldn't think Mad-Eye. Of course you wouldn't. He's, like, this very veteraned auror. He's got chunks of his nose missing. He has one leg. Like, he's a battle-hardened warrior. Mm-hmm. And Voldemort took him down. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a really harsh reminder.
Like, I feel like we've all had that person in our lives where we're like, that person's going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's this part.
That is this part.
Lightning me. Kind of got like a smoky kind of flavor. What would you call that?
Lightning-y.
Lightning-y.
Yeah, it's lightning-y. We didn't sip from Mad-Eye. Should we do? Well, we'll do it. No, will we do it next time?
Yeah, at the start.
Because they take a shot.
Yeah.
Fireball.
Yeah.
I guess we're buying liquor.
All right. Let's see. Mila asks, how many people do you think Ron and Hermione killed during this battle? Or do you think they didn't kill anyone?
I think they used defensive spells that then may have led to deaths, but I don't know right. if they greenlighted anyone.
No, I don't think they greenlit anyone, but I think that...
Kill, when I said that, he's not, like, red-rumming people. Do you know what that means?
I mean, like, it wasn't his intention.
Do you know what red-rum is?
No.
Isn't that from a horror movie?
What is it from?
First of all, it's a book.
Oh.
Then it was a movie.
What is it?
Called The Shining.
Oh, okay. See, I've never seen it.
And Marty calls it The Shining. Highly recommended.
What does he call it?
The Shining.
I have that book,
I did not
but I
think that's
it.
What you called it. I
Shin,
thought you said
S-H-I-N-I-N-G. S-H-I-N-I-N-G. Red rum. Any whoosies. I don't think he red rummed anyone. It was definitely a defensive unaliving. But I'm going to say Ron, that person. And then Hermione is zero.
I was going to put them each at one.
You're just guessing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, I don't remember what the question was.
Just trying to look up Red Room.
How many people do you think Ron and Hermione killed during the battle? Or do you think that they didn't kill anyone?
I think they red-lighted a couple people. That led to what a green light would do. But how many? Yeah. I don't know.
I see both sides.
a pair each.
Ah, two each. Okay.
Two?
Jeez. They ain't messing around. We're out here for Harry.
Now, are they making Horcruxes too? Gosh.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Marguerite asks, do you think Hermione issued any unforgivable curses or attempted to?
No. You gotta mean those,
I don't...
right? I think she's too scared to put any meaning behind it. Or do you think fear would do that? I don't know.
Good
I feel
question.
Like there's got to be malice, though. I feel like there's got to be malice behind those. Fear doesn't translate that
Hermione
way to me.
Hermione doesn't have malice?
Not in this moment. I feel like she'd be more afraid.
Yeah, maybe she's not quite there in the war yet. I do think she probably threw some unforgivables in the final battle. But I don't think right now she did.
If she was gonna...
It would be Crucio, obviously. I don't think she's bothering anyone.
Obviously, it's freaking.
Well, and in a battle,
torture spells
that quick. Like, what's the point of doing? why am I blanking? What's the third one?
Imperio.
Yeah, I don't like. What's the purpose of it? Like, quick,
jump off your broom.
Sure.
Janine said she put a lady in a jar.
Okay, I'm just saying
in this moment.
Yeah.
That's why I say I think the final battle. she's probably there.
Do you think she is?
I do.
I don't see any of them doing that.
Hermione's a little.
I don't know.
I feel like it depends on her mood. If she's feeling extra sassy, she would, but
is it the week before her period?
That's when I would do it.
Nikki asked, does it count as murder for Ron's soul if he's stunned but the Death Eater died?
No.
It's in defense.
It wasn't his intent and it wasn't defense. Okay, this is a fun question.
Oh, okay. Not dealing with unaliving? Great.
Yeah. Dustifer asks, what was your favorite part of the Taylor Swift concert movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
The whole rep era.
We are going together, though. And yeah, yes, definitely the rep era. Dude, the feelings I get. I need to admit.
I've got chills in my body right now.
I cried for more than half of the movie.
Okay. I would look over and then just and be like, one crybaby tear.
No. One crybaby tear?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm going to cry? I just feel like it's emotional.
Really
emotional.
I get really emotional.
It's I really a like lot, her. Dude. I'm not your level. Really like her.
But like, it's not like, I don't think that I was crying necessarily because like, I love Taylor Swift. It was just like it was just so good. Like,
well, it
just
takes
like
us back to
feel
those
so
moments.
Good.
And like, when we go there, it's the best time.
The rep era
Reputation
is
my favorite.
Oh my
the
God.
The rep era just like God. Is it's forever.
Hot.
Yeah. Chef's kiss.
Very much so.
The lighting. She is my god that I worship.
Oh my gosh.
The lights and just the church singing and Don't Blame Me. Oh yes. Yep. Worship.
Megan's
queen.
Gonna be in the aisle. Can I get an amen?
Literally. Oh, that is all. That is all.
Okay. Mm.
Sorry, I was taking a sip of my beverage. Okay.
Beverage.
Fan story. This is from Lance Parrish. That's a cool name. From April of 2021.
The Parrishes were the name of the family in Jumanji.
Oh my God. I did not know that. God, I love that movie.
Why? I don't know that.
I don't know, but Robin Williams in those tatty jungle clothes and his beard.
R.I.P. I miss him so much.
Yeah. Did you see that Once Upon a Studio thing?
No, I'm crying.
The short.
It's really sweet. But
watch it. It's on Disney Plus.
Well, I won't give it away.
Anything with Robin Williams and Chris Farley makes me really emotional.
I'm sorry because I was reading the chat. Did you say how they did the outtakes for Genie?
No.
They used Robin Williams' outtakes for the Genie part in that.
I just said I wasn't going to spoil anything.
Oh, but okay, I thought you were talking about another part though, because
big
like
reputation. Yes, that's
no, there's this one part that like both of us just looked at each other and started crying, yeah, and like you will know it when you see it.
Yeah,
but
I won't.
I just think it's really cool they didn't use AI. They literally just used his outtakes, which
it's
I
on
think
Disney,
is so cool.
Disney Plus.
I yeah. think that's the only celebrity that I've like legitimately cried over losing.
Yeah,
I wasn't old enough to. Cry not over Carrie Chris Fisher. Farley in time. No, I don't think.
Yeah,
I
remember
did.
Like my mom being upset
really
about
sad.
That, but I didn't know. Yeah, I wasn't old enough.
My mom remembers my grandma like sobbing over Elvis.
Mm.
Yeah,
my mom was really sad about Princess Di. I remember that.
Traumatic.
I remember that.
I remember grown ups being really upset by that.
Yeah.
But I don't think
I was too young.
I was too young too.
But I do remember seeing it on TV. Like I remember watching the news with my mom and being like,
I remember
wait,
them
what happened?
Being very adamant about getting her Beanie Baby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know who I did cry about is I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but the actor who played Ollivander. But that was specifically John Hurt because it happened while we were at the celebration of Harry
you know
Potter,
what? I
and
maybe
it was
cried about Robbie.
Robbie Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I cried about Robbie.
Okay,
Lance.
Let's not think about celebrity.
Poor Lance.
Deaths.
Lance, your last name just spiraled everything. God. Okay. Hey, my name is Lance, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out how I just now found your podcast.
When? Oh, okay.
April.
A couple years
well, actually, I don't know if it was then or what. I'm very disappointed in myself that I was not able to start this reread process since the beginning. However, I'm determined to listen to all of the episodes and hopefully catch up to you before you finish the final book. I need to know. I need an update. I've now just
catch up?
I know. I have now just finished the last episode of Sorcerer's Stone and will be starting Chamber of Secrets tonight. I'm not listening to any of the current episodes, so I'm not even sure if it is still originally Euphoria. However, I find all of you hilarious, especially Sarah with her crazy outbursts. So my Potter profile, my Hogwarts house is Slytherin. My Pottermore wand is Hawthorne with a phoenix feather core. However, the wand that chose me at Ollivander's is Alder with a dragon heartstring core. And it looks exactly like the one Sarah got when Euphoria went to Universal in 2017. Snakehead with a skeleton. Mm. Very Halloween-y for this time of year.
Indeed.
My Potter story starts when I was 8. My friend had already read the first couple books and had rented the movie. Shout out to old Blockbuster.
Oh, hey. One of Marty and I's first like official dating things was we got a Blockbuster account together.
Wow. That's commitment.
You guys should go.
I kept a card too. It's awesome. In my special box.
Isn't there a Blockbuster There's in Portland?
One left. There's one Is left there? In the world.
That feels so go. Portland.
Right? You guys should go have a little date in Blockbuster.
You should.
That'd be so cute.
You should.
I'll bring my card. It says Martin.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Where was I? Okay. Shout out to old Blockbuster. So I watched it with her and I was instantly hooked. I remember the day so well because she was teaching me the correct way to pronounce Hermione.
Hermione.
Anyway, that night I got the first book that my grandfather bought me for my birthday a month ago and started reading, and the story goes on from there. Also, I will add that it's hilarious listening to the older episodes and hearing y'all speculate about future events, and I'm like, nope, that doesn't happen at all.
Hey, whoa!
Prime example, Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Hey, but we got some stuff.
Yeah, we did get some stuff.
We
can't get it all. All right?
Right.
We just got to throw stuff out there and hope some of it sticks.
And we can't get all the movies either.
Thanks for hearing my story, Lance Parrish. And this is kind of really funny that this connects to this episode, but they included a Peter Pan quote. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it. Why did I put the bingo on jokes? Okay, the last couple times I really failed. Oh, hold on, Lance, thank you for your story. I super appreciate it. And I need an update, and I need to know if you still listen. Are you caught up? Are you with us on the last book? What's going
Tell
on?
Us, please.
Did you watch Jumanji?
Yeah. Do you like Chuck E. Cheese?
Or do you prefer Sir Charles E. Stilton?
You know, as much as I want to be a Charles girl, I'm definitely a Chuck.
I do like me some pizza, but I am pretty picky with my pizza, so.
You don't want charcuterie boards?
I want tea.
Yeah.
I do love tea.
Afternoon tea.
I really want a Charles E. Stilton high tea. Place.
Marty's cousin is dating someone from Ireland. He always has to have a tea. And I'm like, I'm going to live your life, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that.
Ted Lasso. That's a joke, right? Like, you guys don't actually.
You guys
like
know
it.
That this is not good, right? I love tea.
Me too.
Same thing.
Maybe I'll make some when I go home. All right, ready for a joke? Cool, just me. All right, here we go.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready.
What kind of laugh does Newt Scamander make? Woody Woodpecker?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Come on.
No, guys. I think Marty's upstairs like, what?
He's probably like,
please send them home.
That woman.
No, guys, he bow chuckles.
Oh, that's cute. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Sorry. Them's the rules.
The way your shoulders just shrugged at me. Sorry. You're not.
If after this episode you want more, follow us on social media. myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Petrus Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick.
What you doing, girls?
Girls?
Yeah.
To both of us.
Ladies?
You were looking at Tiffany, so
Katie,
I was like,
is also is holding a beer, so you look like someone who's just trying to pick people up. Where you going, girl?
Come here often.
God.
Oh my God.
What am I doing?
What you reading, babe?
I'm very, 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 very slowly trying to finish Business or Pleasure.
Do you like it?
Yes. Okay. I read it after I rub Alana's back and she turns over. I open my phone and read it, and then I usually just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. I'm getting observed soon because I had 2 years off after being rated accomplished. So they give you a break. So, like, I forgot how stressful it was. So I've been trying to, like, prep for that and whatnot. I think it's going to go well. I don't mind when people come in my room. Like, come on in, watch, hang out, whatever. I don't, like, literally don't care.
Yeah.
But when I have to write a massive lesson plan and you're, like, actively grading me on it, yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Any whoosies. But I have been slinging some iron in my basement, you guys. I feel so good.
I'm surprised.
But I got to tell you. The nutrition's not there. I've been snacking so much and I'm like, I gotta figure out, because I don't think I'm eating enough. But I don't know how much of what I need to eat to keep me full, because I am moving and working harder.
Check out the cookbook I just got, Katie.
Yeah, for real. I can bring it over. Please.
It's about fueling your body. Yeah. As
and the stuff sounds really good.
A lot of it is focused on runners, but it's also just focused on athletes and people who are active in general, and like how to fuel.
Dude, but honestly, like, I feel like I come home and I'm ravenous.
I'll send you a picture of it because I don't remember it off the top of my head.
I don't mind having a snack. Like, I don't care about that. But like, when I'm grabbing everything constantly.
Right. Maybe you just need like whatever you're eating, you just need to pack it more with like a whole something, like a whole grain or like protein or whatever.
It's probably missing a carb. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Because you're gonna burn through that.
I need something to stick to my bones.
Yeah.
I probably need like a high protein type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter pretzels.
Nice. Well, how much protein is in those Premier proteins? That's what I drink in the morning. So
I don't know. I think those have a lot.
I drink that in the morning. Well, it's not the morning that's the problem. It's the mid afternoon and
Preach.
Getting home. Yeah. And I don't want to ruin my dinner, which I mm-hmm. have been literally for like a week, because I've been going really hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to brag, you guys, but I've been doing presses with 20s, like standing shoulder presses with 20s.
Freaking awesome. That makes my shoulders feel like they're literally on fire.
Yeah, they do. But I need to, like, get that.
You're just finding the balance.
I need to find something that's going to keep me full enough the rest of the day.
We'll send you that cookbook. I think
it'll
help you.
I bet I'm missing a carb.
Yeah.
Like a whole grain, whole wheat.
Mm-hmm. I gotta figure out what I need to do about that. But anywho, I'm really proud about myself with that. And I've been rewatching, because I only watched it once years ago, Making a Murderer on Netflix, about Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey. Yeah. If you know, you know.
I have not watched that yet. Probably should.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
I have read a lot since last we talked, actually. I'm pulling out my Goodreads.
What, you don't think my 2 paragraphs a night are enough for you, Megan?
I am not judging. All I'm stating
is
what I have read. And I've read 3 books since last week, right? We recorded last week sometime? I don't know. Anyway, I finished The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. Super cozy. I absolutely loved it for October. It is not what I expected it to be, but like in the best way. And then I read another Abby Jimenez book, The Happy Ever After Playlist.
Ooh.
Adorbs. And I read Scandalized by Ivy Owens, which is actually just a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's not her real name. What is that called?
A pseudonym? No.
But like with writing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Not a ghostwriter.
Pen name. Thank you, friends.
Thank you, friends.
Jinx, you owe me a coke.
It's the pen name for Lauren Billings, who is the Lauren half of Christina Lauren. So
interesting.
She wrote Scandalized.
Why do people do that if people know who you are?
I don't know.
Like, the author does that with Robert Galbraith.
Maybe she did it because she is only known as writing under Christina Lauren. And
it's right under your name.
But I also think that it's like maybe like a curious thing. Like, how well can this sell if people don't know that it's me? You know?
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway. And then I started The Flat Share by Beth O'Leary. It's really cute so far. It's very interesting. I would never do what she's doing, but it's, you know, she really needs someplace to live. So she's living at in this flat with this guy, and it's only a one bedroom, but like he sleeps during the day and she sleeps at night. So they never cross over, at least yet. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't know if I would do that. Mm. Nope. Mm. Kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting so far. So I've been reading a lot and playing Dreamlight Valley. So. Mm. Katie.
I'm still reading Empire of Storms. I'm a little over halfway through, though.
No, you're not.
No, I'm sorry.
Empire
my God.
Of
Tower
Storms.
Of Dawn. Sorry, I finished that book.
She is like flying through Tower of Dawn compared to Empire of Storms, though.
Well, I realized. Well, I can't. I'll say it after. I don't want to give spoilers, but okay. I'll tell you why I'm enjoying it so much. But it makes sense, and I really like it a lot. I thought I was going to like struggle through it, but
I'm sorry. I probably put that in your head.
No, all of the internet did. It wasn't you. Like, that's what everyone has said about it, but I really like it a lot. And I'm really excited for games that are coming out soon, but I have to wait for
them. Ooh, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mario Man.
Dude, did you see the other day that they were like, get ready for, what's the Harry Potter game called?
Well, the Quidditch one?
No. The new one.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Hogwarts Legacy. They were like, get ready to pre-order it for Switch. And people were like, no. And there was one, and the reply was like, can't wait for the graphics to be like this. And it's Hermione, or as Emma, doing that weird smile. And then it's the eyes slowly going,
I'm really curious.
I kind of want to get it, but I feel like it's just going to look like absolute trash and lag.
I know.
And I don't really want to do that to myself. Oh, yeah, that one, Vinny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like curious, even though I know it's going to be annoying, but then it could probably like I'll start playing it on the Switch and the graphics will suck and I'll be like, I'm just going to start a new game on the Xbox.
I'm going to play Dreamlight Valley.
I want to start over in Hogwarts Legacy, I think, and do it again. Anyway.
God, that's so much time.
It really is. I know.
That's so much. That's like, that would be like me restarting, Tears of the Kingdom.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Which I haven't played in forever, and I feel so sad about it.
Hogwarts Legacy is the reason why I didn't do so hot with packing when we were moving home. Because I was obsessed with playing it.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. But yeah, just working my knee. Trying to get back to sport.
She wants to start her return to sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running.
Running, but I have to like pass this test with my study and blah blah blah. But Tiffany, are you a snitch because you're by far the greatest catch here? Meg, you must be a Nimbus 2000 because you're sweeping me off my feet.
But you're gonna say, well, no.
What is that?
Yeah,
for?
Why?
You said I was trying to pick you guys up because
oh my god,
yeah,
oh my gosh. Reader's Digest?
I don't know.
Catherine.
I just pulled up one that looked okay.
Since when?
Anyway, oh, congrats to Becca, the Gryffindor, for getting bingo.
Pretty early on.
Yeah. And the House Cup is...
Oh, boy.
Jewett?
Gryffindor.
Ooh, by
oh my God,
a slim
so close.
Amount.
Ravenclaw's in second, Hufflepuff's in third, and Slytherin's in fourth.
Dang.
Wow.
Roar, roar, Gryffindor. This is like Harry Potter era. Becca, you're welcome. That's a very Griff answer. Or statement, rather. Oh, man.
Can this be for Charles Stilton?
This yeah. There's no one else that this could be for.
It's Sir Charles.
Katie. Sir Charles E.
E.
Thank you so much for
Earl
sponsoring.
Earl Wessex. Wait, what is the guy from Frozen? What is it?
Wesselton.
Wesselton.
It's Wesselton.
Weaseltown.
Oh my God, that's kind of perfect. He could be a weasel. It's Weaselton.
So is Charles E. Stilton.
Yeah, Sir Charles E. Stilton is a weasel. He's Duke of Wesselton.
Is someone drawing him yet? Because I need that to happen.
I'm like the chicken with the face of a monkey.
What is that even?
What is that
mean?
From?
It's from Frozen.
Are you serious? But I meant, what does it mean?
I don't know. It's what he says when he's dancing.
And then his hair flaps.
And they go.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
I fly.
Yeah, I don't get it. Anywho.
Duke of Pizzeria.
Thanks, Charles.
Sir,
appreciate you for sponsoring this episode. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
What? Why are you looking at me?
For Mia.
Oh.
Because one day I am going to do something with these things that she makes us.
I know. She's a gem.
Mia!
Sorry! Okay, to be fair, back when I was like, oh, Vinny's here, I looked over at your name and saw that it was like idle. So I was like, oh, maybe she's not here today. And I just had not looked again. I'm very glad you're here. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the apologies.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.